Welcome to Sustain This, a podcast where we discuss mindful consumption, personal style, and the quest for living a more intentional life. I'm Alyssa, a sustainable stylist.
And I'm Christina, a shopaholic turned minimalist-ish.
And I'm Sina, a color consultant and slow fashion style coach.
Together, we will unpack the nuances of what it really means to be a conscious consumer and find more joy in what we have right now. So grab your tea, your coffee, or whatever floats your boat and join us in the conversation. Let's go.
Yay.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. So today we're going to be talking about an article written from British Vogue that we came across that was really interesting to us and I think will spark a lot of really good conversation today. And that is, why don't we wear our clothes to death anymore? I think it's really interesting. So they start off this conversation with, there's a really famous photo of Mary-Kate Olsen carrying an Hermes Birkin bag that is basically beat to shit.
Yeah.
but it's like really cool and sort of appealing because of how beat up it is. And it just like, it's almost this like aspirational amount of usage. And in my opinion, kind of the way a Birkin should be worn. Yeah. It's kind of funny. I was watching a TikTok last night and it was this girl posting about Jane Birkin and how the Birkin came to be. Like, she used to carry around this little basket bag. She got in a plane, she was upgraded to first class, and she was like kind of like getting settled, and her bag spilled out everywhere. And the gentleman beside her was like, oh, you need to get a new bag. And she's like, oh, I'll only get a new bag when Hermes designs it for me. And the guy's like, well, I am Hermes, so what kind of bag would you like? And so she like drew it, she sketched out like what the Birkin would have been. And there are all these great photos of her, like, essentially using it as, like, a laptop bag. It's, like, full of stuff. It's stuffed to the brim. It's used up. It's wrinkled. It's scratched. And I just think we don't really see that amount of usage anymore, and we kind of scoff when we do see it. It's almost like, oh, your stuff's worn out. And there was another great TikTok that inspired this article. So what inspired this article from British Vogue by Emily Chan was a TikToker called Elena Q. So she's holding up, we'll leave the TikTok linked in the show notes as well, but she was basically holding up her tabbies, her Margiela tabby shoes that were just absolutely destroyed, but she was just like, I love them, these are my shoes, I have super glued the soles back on, the straps have broken and I've fixed it. And she kind of made this observation that no one wears their clothes like that anymore. So what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I think it was really interesting that she made that TikTok, especially based on the comments that she was getting from other people saying that, oh, some people don't deserve to wear designer items like this if you're not going to look after them properly, or like if you're going to, you know, essentially wear them to death.
Yeah.
Which is so sad. Like, I've even had a few comments like that, oh, some of your shoes look so worn out, you definitely need to buy new ones. And and I think we've had this discussion before, like, where do we draw the line between something is like worn and loved and then worn out? Yeah. Like, how who gets to make that decision, and where do we draw the line? Because nothing will stay new forever. And it's like the whole, you know, picturing the item in the wash bin or with scuffs, like, you need to love it beyond that point.
Yes.
I don't know. I think it also makes me think about the weird dichotomy of, like, it's okay to be materialistic, like, really materialistic with your clothes and what you have, and, like, love them to death and be obsessed with what you have. It's just, because then it allows you to really use it up. And there was a really good, I forget what account it was, but there was a really good saying, and it was like, don't wear what's in, wear it out. And I liked that. I thought that was cool. I can't take credit for it. I'll try and find the account, but I thought it was a nice little like mantra to keep in your head.
Yeah.
When you're definitely thinking about what you have. And
It makes me think about too, like, I hear a lot of the times, and I've even done this in the past, where people are like, well, I love it, but I don't want to ruin it, so I don't wear it.
Saving it for a better or perfect occasion.
Yeah. And it's
which is far worse, I think.
I think having a
wardrobe full of clothes you never wear is far worse than scuffing the piece or like getting a stain that you can potentially just
get fixed.
I like the signs of love. I know Leandra Medine, who I follow also, she has a whole, like, her white sneakers are always scuffed. And she's actually said, she's been open about it. She was like, I love that my white sneakers have scuffs and marks. And, you know, obviously you keep them clean, but like you embrace those signs of wear and tear. Yeah.
And they look like that because you love them. Yeah. And that's also a really valuable message to be putting out there.
Yeah, like for example, like I really like wearing Converse Chuck Taylors, or like the high tops and the low tops. And a fresh pair just isn't right to me. Like they have to be a little bit beat up, you know, especially the white ones. Yeah. Like the more you wear them out and like just they're...
The better they get.
Yeah, like those shoes walk with you. And it makes me also think about like the jacket I'm wearing now is... So if you're listening, I'm wearing a oversized bomber jacket that basically came pre-distressed. So the name of it is the Distressed Bomber Jacket. And it looks vintage, but it's brand new, and it's been treated to look distressed, to look like I gave it those years and years of wear that only wearing your piece over and over for decades can do. So I also find it interesting that to get a certain look and a vibe and an aesthetic, we'll buy things brand new
that look perfectly distressed
instead of distressing it ourselves, which I find very fascinating.
I think it's a Canada Goose. No, not Canada Goose. Are they called the sneakers?
Oh, Golden Goose.
Golden Goose. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, Golden Goose. They have like really worn out sneakers too, like distressed sneakers too. And I agree with you. I find it interesting that we are like okay with that kind of stuff, but then why isn't it okay to just wear like? And I think maybe it's because we don't want to look sloppy. So maybe it's also about like balancing it out, because some pieces will just look like white sneakers, a white tee. Like there's some pieces, a leather bag, a leather jacket, they will always like get scuffing and start looking worn.
Yeah.
So maybe it's also about trying to balance things. Like you're wearing like a shiny pair of trousers today, which I imagine they're going to look like that
For a long time.
So maybe like offset the distressed item with something that looks a little bit more sleek and polished, kind of, if you're afraid of looking sloppy.
Yes, yeah, that balance of like the contrast and everything, yeah.
I like, Christina, how you said at the beginning, you used the term, or like that this worn-in, like Mary-Kate's bag, is an aspirational worn-in look.
Yeah, because we're so drawn to like that photo. Everybody loves that photo.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. It's like,
but I never saw it as like, I like how you put that word in, aspirational. It's almost like a nice way of like reframing it, right? Mm-hmm. Like instead of being like, oh, old bag, it's like, ooh, yeah, old bag.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah.
Like it's just a different way of looking at it and appreciating it. I don't know. I wonder, it makes me wonder, like the way we were talking about how like the leather jacket, like pre-distressed, but also after you own it for like 20 years, it's going to look even better. Like I wonder if there are some items that do just wear better. Like leather typically looks really nice over time. The white sneaker, denim, right? Like raw denim,
that's
Japanese denim. That's the point, right?
Is
to wear it and wear it out. Like even my jeans, like I spilled tomato on it. I was like, whatever. It's tomato. Like it's denim. It's just gonna like, you know, like I wiped it off and I was like, well, it's denim. Like this is just how it is.
Yeah.
So I just wonder, it makes me wonder if there are certain things that certain clothes that like when we, you know how you were like asking Sina, where do we draw the line between when is it like, okay, beyond repair and when is it, you know, just looking kind of worn?
Yeah, it's so interesting because I feel like anything, like for example, I mean, we talked about what we look for, or we talked about where you spend versus where you save in a wardrobe. And for example, like a white t-shirt, I'll pay anywhere, like I'm happy to pay like in the $40 to $50 range for like a thicker, higher quality white tee where the collar doesn't warp and it keeps its shape for a long time. But at the same time, I'm going to say that there's also something to be said about a really delicious, thin, worn out. You know how like t-shirts get thinner over time, like a good vintage tee, it's like paper thin and like almost feels silky. There's something so great about that too. I guess it's really what you're looking for and like what your aesthetic is.
I mean, I just replaced my Veya sneakers. And these are my third pair from like within the last 7 or 8 years. Mm-hmm. So I really wear them, like, I feel like I wear them out in the sense that they were my last pair. They're actually like, they looked okay. I don't mind that they had like scuffing and the rubber sole kind of starts getting a little bit more yellow through time. Mm-hmm. I don't mind that look myself.
Yeah.
And you can just wash the laces and like keep them nice and clean. But on the inside, mm-hmm. in the heel cap, it was so destroyed that the plastic bits were like scuffing my heels. So they were starting to get uncomfortable to wear. Mm-hmm. So to me, you know, I bet there, maybe you could put like a little, I don't know, sticky piece in, and then you would be able to like extend a little bit. But to me, that is definitely a valid reason to replace that item. Like if it's no longer comfortable because it's been worn so much.
That's a really good point. Yeah. Really valid point.
Yeah. Like, but I think you get to decide, right? When it's like,
I just wonder if it's almost like, we talk about, there's like a kind of like the obsession with like quiet luxury and looking like clean.
Yeah. Polished.
Yeah. And so, because the article in Vogue kind of goes into like how, you know, the trend is to see an item be worn once or twice in a picture and then you never really see it again. And so, like, what do you think about that? Because I feel like I used to really consume and approach, as a content creator, like I would approach my content that way. It's like, oh, I'm gonna buy this for the photo, and like back in my shopaholic like Instagram versus reality days, I would buy things, do the haul, and then like wear it once or twice and then move on to the next to be like to either to like maintain on trend or not necessarily to keep an item looking new or fresh, but mostly like to look relevant and current. Yeah.
That's where the whole discussion about like how the algorithm killed personal style kind of comes into play, I feel, because it's like, looking current and like chasing likes because, ooh, this is a really popular item. Like I'm wearing it and I'm showcasing it and like maybe I'll pop up in the Explore feed because it's like...
And I also noticed like, I think a lot of us say we want to consume like... Oh, I want to see like outfit repeaters and I want to see how people style their own clothes, but the algorithm doesn't favor that.
Yeah, it's true.
It's just the reality. And
it doesn't
like,
favor worn out clothes either, right? It's like...
Yeah, yeah.
It has to look like...
pristine and brand new and unboxings all the time, you know?
Yeah, there's another point in the article I found really interesting actually in the beginning where they said like how little you actually have to wear, how much you know, it's not that long. I think it says what... In fact, extending a garment's life by just 9 months can reduce its carbon, water, and waste footprint between 20 to 30%.
Wow.
So just 9 months, that's not long.
No,
like,
it's not.
Surely we should be able to do that, right?
It's like one season.
Yeah.
Keep it for another season.
And even for me, like even that, I feel like, wow, that's not a long time to be wearing something.
Yeah.
At least for me, I'll speak for myself. I have a lot of clothes, and I have more clothes that I could possibly wear out, I think.
Yeah.
Like, even with, like, repeated wear. So it's, like, you know, it's really, I think, thinking about, like, this kind of goes into, like, the fear of, like, ruining something or, like, saving something for a special occasion. I firmly, firmly believe that every day, like, you are your habits and your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're not, like, spending time styling the piece, styling your clothes, wearing them, shopping your own closet, you don't really build that identity that you want to build as, like, to be, like, a stylish person or a person who does shop their closet or a person who, you know, even aims to wear out their clothes. So I think it, like, kind of comes back to, like, the behavior and what you do every day.
Yeah.
And so using those pieces instead of like actively using them instead of saving them for a special occasion is like, I think it's like a way that you build that habit.
Yeah, the article does touch on the whole like reselling thing as well, which I think is also pretty interesting because it seems like some people are afraid to wear their like designer luxury items because they don't want to ruin them because then they won't be able to like resell them later on.
Yes,
so just the whole... I think there's nothing wrong with like wanting to buy pieces that are like better quality so that you can potentially better resell them later. But that if that's already your focus when you buy the item, then that's a problem.
Yeah.
Because they actually say that the secondhand market is becoming similar to fast fashion because we're just moving our like consumption habit from like one side of the
the picture.
To another one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
So we're not really getting to the root of the problem, which is overconsumption.
It's always like that. I go back, even with clients, whenever they show me a piece and they're like, I don't know how to wear this, the first question is always, well, what was your intention when you bought it? And this kind of goes back to that intentionality. Like, if, like you said, if you're buying a piece with the intention to resell it, then why are you buying it in the first place? Do you need it? Do you love it? Are you going to wear it? Like, what are, run through all of those questions that will help you make a more intentional purchase from the beginning. I know Vestiaire Collective recently stopped carrying fast fashion pieces or stopped accepting secondhand fast fashion because this is like their position on, I think they see it, they see the secondhand market consumption behavior changing into, you know, having such high turnover, so they've stopped collecting that as fast fashion in order to help kind of stem the flow of that behavior, I guess.
Yeah.
It also goes into, I think the article also talks about how people, there's an increase in popularity for items that are well-worn and worn out. So, like, we want to pre-purchase, almost like, kind of like my jacket. Distressed. Like, we want to pre-purchase that wear so that we don't have to do it ourselves.
Mm. Probably also a pricing, like, thing, right? But, yeah, I think you're right. It's maybe it's getting more acceptable to wear like a loved piece, like even with this, my vintage Chanel bag I had, like I sold it because I found it was just it didn't feel aligned with my lifestyle and the person I am right now, so I sold it. But it was so beat up, like it was really, it was in such fair condition, like the leather was like starting to flake and it was in such, but it was like that. It was charming still because it had a history, and and I could still sell it. So it was, you know, often people won't really mind if it's a really special item. I think for them, like that, it's a bit worn out and it's a bit beaten up. Do you have any like, what's your like most loved, most worn piece in your wardrobe that you still love and wear? Do you have anything that's like has significant signs of wear?
I'm thinking about denim or like a leather jacket or even some of my jeans, like my vintage Levi's. Like there's some that have holes in it and every time I wear them they just get bigger.
You have a piece from your mom too, right? A pair of jeans.
Yeah, I have a couple pairs from my mom. But like even those jeans, like she wore them first, I didn't wear them out, you know. It's kind of funny, like I was thinking about like what clothes have I really worn out? I think it's when I wear things out, I've noticed it's like, you know, it's like a cheaper t-shirt, so the collar warps, and then I turn it into like a hair towel or turn it into like a sleep shirt. Or I have this vintage like Harley Davidson t-shirt that was like kind of distressed to begin with, and now it's like really like the collar is undoing and like there's a big hole in the armpit and stuff like that. So that's been like, but again, it was worn to begin with, like I don't know how much I've worn out except for like a pair of leggings that I like destroyed with a kettlebell, like it, I got a hole in it and it like rubbed on, and like I think for me personally it's because I have a lot of clothes to rotate through, it's harder for me to wear things out, I find. Like and like my clothing, like my behavior in getting dressed is less about wearing the same piece over and over and over again. I'll like rotate through my clothes. And I think that's kind of a, it kind of speaks to just like, we all probably have too much, and can we even wear things out as much as we think, depending on how many clothes you own.
I think that's a great daily practice though, and like recognizing that, okay, I have a lot of clothes, I don't need to be an outfit repeater as per like sustainability guidelines or like whatever, you know what I mean? Like you can have a, you can have a big closet and be conscious and intentional, and because you're wearing all your different things every day, I think that's really cool. I think a lot of people, they equate reducing their consumption of fashion with a small closet, with, you know, like wearing the same sweater five times a week, and that's not necessarily it either. Like, you know, I think like you said, it's the daily, I like how you said, like the daily practices that,
because like the clothes that I've decided to keep, like, you know, the volume is probably is like higher than like what the minimalist wardrobe I used to want. But like, to me, there's no, I don't want to declutter anything because unless those things get sold, it's just going to end up in a landfill. So I might as well use it.
I love that. I was just about to say, because I actually got a comment from someone recently where she was like, can you guys talk about that? Like, okay, we're seeing all of these decluttering videos and people are talking about like downsizing and how great it is for your mental health. And it's like, oh, it's nice to let go. Mm-hmm. But letting go doesn't make this stuff disappear. Like it ends up somewhere.
It disappears from your life, but like it doesn't stop there, right? But we remove ourselves from what happens to it after. Yeah. And that's really like, it makes me think about decluttering in a different way, because it's just not, it's like just discarded, because and it's almost like, because I think a lot of times like people will, like I started decluttering out of frustration, so there's almost this like sense of like, get out, I want it gone, get out of my life, screw it, I don't care what happens to it, go, right? And it's kind of like an aggressive almost like throw your hands up in the air approach. And then so like when those clothes end up in a garbage bag and you take them to Goodwill, like there's, we know that there's that only 25% of those things end up in an actual sales floor. The rest of it goes to like, it goes to the Global South, and then they have to deal with it and burn it. And like, you know, so it's not like, it doesn't stop there. So I think I do believe in having a plan, having an exit strategy for your stuff before you even bring it in. Which for me is where like, yeah, it kind of, you know, I'm like, oh, if someone else can use this, then maybe I don't want to wear it out. So that does make me think about that. Yeah. But
yeah, I like how you put it that, you know, don't just throw your hands up in the air and be like, okay, I'm just going to send 10 bags of clothes to the, like, and donate them. And I think a lot of people do it, like, they think, they actually, like, genuinely think they're doing something good.
Yeah.
By donating them, like it's in the word. Okay, I'm donating them. It's for a good cause, which is like totally valid to feel that way. But yeah, it's, the reality is just different, and I think it's a bigger task to get rid of your clothes. Like it's for me. Like I've been. I'm not saying I never donate stuff. Whatever I can't sell, I will donate the rest. But the feeling of like selling something, even if I'm not really earning anything from it, it's like, it feels so great to know that this piece is going directly to someone else's home.
Yeah.
That's why I never like, I always price my stuff to sell, because I just don't like, that money is long gone.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
You're never going to recoup that cost. Like, I think the other problem is with the, I think maybe people hesitate to sell their stuff maybe is because, like, I think we put more value on our clothes than they're actually worth.
100%.
And so it kind of becomes like a form of resistance to sell it. And it's like, oh, I'll just keep it. But then it just stays dormant in your closet again for another 6 months until you try it again, you know? So it's, yeah, it's, if you want it gone and you have the energy to sell it, price it to sell.
I always find if it's a risky piece for me, I always buy with the intention of like, if I have someone in mind whose style I know will like it, I'll be like, okay, if this doesn't work out for me, then I'm going to send it to like this person. Like you kind of have a friend or someone who you know, but
yeah, that's
always fun.
Strategy.
But like,
you have your puzzle back, which is starting to look a little bit.
It's looking really worn.
Yeah,
really
but I think it looks great. Awesome.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's good. It's very like, it's very worn now. It was already quite worn when I got it actually.
Yeah.
Because it was the only way I could afford it, I think. I think that's why it was priced so low, because it was so scuffed already. But yeah, I don't, I'm actually learning to love it like that, you know?
Yeah, we were talking about the fact that, you know, because it's navy, it's probably harder to cover up the scuffing.
Yeah.
And I feel like brands should have like a bigger role in this. Like if they want to, they... Like, they market, like, mend your clothes, like, wear your clothes. Okay, but then make it easier. Sell, like, a little bottle of, I don't know, leather care in navy. Because that's a big part of the problem, too. And I think it's totally valid. I love the idea of mending, but a lot of people don't have the skills.
Yeah.
So you actually end up, like, maybe ruining the piece rather than actually fixing it. Mm-hmm. And, like, mending services, I follow this mending... Instagram, which is just really satisfying to watch. I'll see if I can find it and we
is
can
it the
link
restory?
It.
The Restory? I don't know if
that's... I don't remember what they're called. If I find it, we can link it in the show notes. But just, it's so satisfying to see how much can actually be done. Yeah. Like, don't ever judge for yourself whether a piece is worn out or not. Like, ask an expert, I think, because you'll be surprised how much they can actually do. But again, they're like a really... There are not a lot of repairs.
They're far between.
Yeah. Even tailor, yeah. Like a good tailor is hard to find.
Two of my local cobblers are shutting down. They're like, we don't have anyone to take over. No one wants to do this.
So it's like, okay, well, maybe brands should like play a bigger role and like try to keep those service, kind of service.
In-house.
Yeah. As part of their package or their business. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know it's really cool. Like, I think France is always so like ahead of the game, but I think they're subsidizing now, like, tailors, seamstresses, cobblers, like any mending and repair services. Either they're subsidizing the businesses themselves or they're giving like some sort of, I'll link the article to, or they're like providing like a, I don't know, what's it called when you get like a bit of money every year from the government to like, to actually mend and repair your stuff.
Like a grant?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought that's a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
I think, you know, like, and it has to be kind of systemized, I think, like you're saying.
Like create incentives to get into the business and all of that, yeah.
Or even just for to make it easy for the consumer to, like, go and, you know.
Yeah, because even, like, becoming a tailor, I think, is, like, dying.
Yes.
And, like, where can you, like, study to become tailor almost? Like, it's more, like, a small part of when you're studying design anyway. Mm. It's like, okay, you need to learn, like, the technical things that goes into like putting a garment piece of clothing together, but like actually studying to become tailor or studying to become a cobbler is like see that. It's not really a thing anymore.
It's like something that's like passed down
in generation.
Right? Like
your
generation.
Mom was, so you learn and
like that's the family business. So here we go. Mm. I wonder if there's like a parallel between you know why we have a hard time aging and also we have a hard time having old clothes, you know, like
this obsession with
looking new and like new things.
I think there's definitely that pressure and I think it definitely correlates because, we're so adverse to anything looking old because I think it either looks like you don't take care of yourself or it makes you look like you're poor. Or, like, some people don't have the luxury, if you're, like, a visible minority, for example, to look disheveled because you get an extra judgment on top of that. So, like, there's more of a pressure to look, like, clean and professional. So I think there's some of that as well. So, like, just culturally and societally, there's just always this, like, incentive to look clean and polished. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like a pilly shirt or like a something with a hole in it doesn't fit necessarily. Mary Kay Olsen is like a thin, rich white girl, and so we like idolize her looking disheveled and like and like quote unquote,
but the normal person
like homeless bag lady.
Yeah.
But like if it was anybody else, we don't really get away with it.
Oh yeah,
that's a really good point though.
I don't know. And the other thing that just comes to mind and makes me think of that, like kind of coming off of that point, is like, for example, Mary Kate Olsen is a billionaire celebrity. So she kind of has this privilege to look, they call her like a bag lady.
Right.
You know? So she gets, like, she can get away with like looking disheveled while maybe the rest of us, we don't get that free pass. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just find it an interesting, it's like an interesting, is the word dichotomy? It's like, because
it's almost like a double standard.
It is a double standard, yeah, because we can't really get away with that, but then we aspire to dress like her and have that worn out piece. Yeah. Where it's almost like if I had a Hermes Birkin that looked that worn out, it would be like, you're trying too hard.
Yeah. You obviously bought that bag so beat up because you can't afford like the real deal or something like that,
exactly,
you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
Which is what the girl with the tabbies, she was getting comments like that, like, oh, some people shouldn't own designer, or like Margiela didn't make stuff to look like this, even though apparently
he did.
He does a lot of
dress.
So yeah, I find that kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah, it all goes back to the, like, as long, I almost feel like, you know, when the wearer is wearing a piece that is distressed intentionally or whether it's just like they're going through it and they just don't have the time to like keep up their clothing care, you know? I think
I don't know, like, I think of, like, my grandparents who were immigrants, and, like, they never had, like, you know, they never had, like, the...
They all had a real deal capsule.
Yeah. And, yeah. like, sure, their items were old, but they were always clean and pressed. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Like, I think you can have a threadbare shirt, but it's, you know, I think you can tell when a garment is old but well taken mm-hmm. care of versus yes. when it's just...
I think
discarded.
That we talked about aura versus yeah. aesthetics, which I think is a whole, like, I love that whole, yeah. the shift between those two. And I think that's another problem. Like, we're so focused on the aesthetics of, like, again, mm-hmm. yeah, looking sharp and looking polished and, like, and that's, like, that's what we get credit for. Mm-hmm. Like, we're never, again, I feel like I immediately think about the algorithm, like, it that's the kind of outfits that shows up in, like, the explore feed and, like, the yeah. suggested posts is, like, these brand spanking new, like, white sneakers and
yeah. I get people commenting, like, I don't know, you probably get this too, both of you, but, like, I get people commenting, like, when are you gonna buy some new clothes? I'm really tired of seeing this sweater, or, like, I'm gonna stop following you because you just wear the same thing over and over again, yeah, or, like, yeah. I'm tired of seeing those shoes, like, girl, like, up your shoe game. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I get that off. I'm like, oh, yeah. you know, like,
yeah, I have that too.
I don't know, like, I'm trying to think, and yet the people I follow and I'm inspired by, I'm trying to think if they, like, wear new things
they don't.
Like, I don't
think of, like, the Amelie and Cecilia Mouscards. They're
yes.
like,
yes,
literally the same trench, same boots, same right. bag in every single picture, and it's like, and it's awesome,
and they look great. Right. Right?
Yeah,
you know what yes. you're gonna get, and yeah,
yeah.
A signature yeah. look, and it's it okay is. To have a signature look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that before too. Yeah. Like, developing yourself.
I just, and the other thing too I find fascinating is, like, you know, we talk about things to ask before you buy, and maybe a common one is, like, must be able to wear, like, 5 different ways with the rest of my wardrobe. But, like, when's the last time you wore it 5 different ways? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if we get great to that. Question. We don't, like, we think about it, and it, like, we do the work and, like, you know, even create the little photo, like, the little outfits in your digital wardrobe, if you have that, for mm-hmm. example. Like, there's all these great intentions, but then what's missing is the actual execution of it.
Yes.
I think that already shows that we have enough, you know? We don't mm-hmm. even get to fill out that gap.
Yeah.
Because we already, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's where I find outfit documenting really great, because it can, yeah. you know, like you said before, okay, take that piece, isolate it, style it up, have a little styling session,
yeah.
maybe document it, like, like, do the work, you know, you have mm-hmm. to do a little bit, it's not necessarily easy, like, it, I think sometimes people have this idea that, oh, an effortless wardrobe is, like, you just throw it on and everything is just easy, but there no, is, like, work.
There's yeah. the habit that needs yeah. to be built. That's what I mean, like, that the behavior and your habits reflect who you are, and what, like, because your habits are what you do, and that's who you are, really. So it's like, you know, and styling your clothes and wearing them is part of it.
Yeah, you can't just buy I also saw that on the Fashionist Psychology page, that, like, you can't buy style, and you can't just pin a bunch of, like, pictures of outfits you like if it's not what you wear. Like, is it really, like, you know, you have to get up and get dressed. That's the whole point.
Yeah. And so it kind of makes me think of another TikTok that I saw by a creator called Elliot Dupree. We will leave the video linked in the description. And he's kind of commenting on this eclectic grandpa trend. So you know how on TikTok, or how the trend cycle just kind of cycles and circulates every, like, 4 to 10 business days. So eclectic grandpa is kind of like the new aesthetic. By the time this podcast goes up, I guarantee you it'll probably be over. But he talks about how the true eclectic grandpas that we're trying to emulate in this style are people who have lived a lifetime curating and wearing their clothes and just living life, experiencing music, culture, and developing a personal taste that gets reflected in that eclectic grandpa style that we want. But it, like, comes with, like, living a life in your clothes and wearing them out and being authentic. Yeah, and it's like, yeah, I think we are missing the wearing out piece. And I think, I mean, ultimately for me, it comes down to like the consumption. And I think we all have more than we need. But it's also like that balance of, because I don't believe, like, for example, the question of like, do I need this is not a good question to ask before you buy something. I mean, you sure you can, but like,
and you can also,
you don't.
No. Yeah.
So, but we still buy. So, mm-hmm. and I still buy personally. Mm-hmm. So it's not a good question to ask.
Yeah.
So like, what else is making me say yes? Mm. And then with that, it's really focusing on that where part, mm. which we try to predict before we buy mm. by asking the cost per wear question. Yeah. Will I get 30 wears? Can I style it 5 different ways? Yeah. Am I happy to spend this money? But it's like, it's kind of predictive. So what's really missing is like taking the action and wearing. Mm.
And also be critical about like how much you buy, like in term, like we talked about the whole how many pieces of clothing do we actually need. And I think if you want to be part of the solution, you need to be more critical and like say, okay, well, if they say that, okay, 5 is like the max of new pieces mm-hmm. per person, mm-hmm. how far away from that am I actually? Like, can I do better? Like, yeah. What can I do to try to challenge myself more mm-hmm. to bring down my consumption? Because I think, yeah, a lot of the times we'll justify, oh, well, I've only bought like 10 new pieces this year. Like, it's not that much, but it is like it is still a lot.
Yeah.
Or it could be like, so it's like,
check yourself.
Yeah. I think it's better to like challenge yourself rather than asking the question, like, mm-hmm. how do I really need it? Yeah.
I think with that, it comes with building new habits, because I think shopping regularly, chronically, even if you're thrifting, is another habit. It's mm-hmm. another thing that like mm-hmm. need, you know, and I think we give ourselves the free pass by saying that we're buying it secondhand, right? Mm-hmm. Like, as you said earlier, it kind of is kind of down to the consumption, because if you're doing weekly thrift hauls even, or clothing swaps even, like, how can we physically wear all these clothes? Mm-hmm. And I'm asking myself this question. This is not just to everybody. Like, mm-hmm. I have, you know, like, my wardrobe's over 100 pieces. That's like, it's a lot of clothes that a lot of permutations and combinations I can come up with. So it's kind of like, this to me is my own reminder of just like, how much of my own stuff can I actually wear? And it's like, maybe I need to personally do some more work reacquainting myself with my closet a little bit more, instead of being like, not even what's missing all the time, but like, what cool, fabulous new thing can I add next to even evolve it? Because it's all fun and I enjoy it, and it's like a great, like, I don't think shopping is all bad, but it's really like, this is making me think, like, I tell myself I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and then a lot of times, like, I mean, I wear my clothes and I enjoy it, but I don't think I wear them enough. And then when you keep bringing in something new, you're always behind, you're always chasing the amount of wear that you said you're going to give it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Good point. You mentioned that in another episode, and that thought always stayed with me about like giving yourself that breathing room with whatever. Like, it's fine, buy something new, but then give it space.
Yeah. Give it space.
Like, give it time to enjoy and wear and learn how to wear it. And then if you need to add, go for it. I just, mm-hmm. that's stuck with me a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, giving whatever is new space.
Yeah.
I like how in that TikTok that you shared, Christina, how he said, It's like an epidemic of personal style.
And yeah.
I wonder if it's like, maybe I'm like going to sound really old, but like, I wonder if it's a generational thing. Like, as millennials, I can't speak for Gen Z, but like, were we taught that you can buy personality? Like, were we taught that you can buy being cool? Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like my grandparents, they were probably cool just because they were cool, you know? Like, buy their way, do you know? Like,
yeah.
And I wonder if all of these iterations, like all of these super fast, like micro trends that we see, I don't know. I love it because it's also a form of experimentation, and it allows people to sort of discover, like, oh my God, ballet corps, I love, I'm going to do ballet corps for the rest of my life. Or I don't know. Like, are we having like an identity crisis that we have to, I don't know. That's, I just, mm-hmm. it was interesting how he said it was like this epidemic, and we want to emulate these people who have lived and who are so sure of themselves.
Yeah.
I
and
think
it's instant gratification. We don't want to, we don't want to put in the time or the work
right.
that maybe previous generations have.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, I'm seeing a lot of like parenting like advice, obviously, in my algorithm because I'm a mom, and there's like people talking about why they're trying as long as possible, like introducing social media to their children. Okay. And it's because they won't have time to develop their own point of view. Because they keep getting constant bombarded with like other people and other personalities. So I think to your point, I think that probably social media is like disrupting everything for us.
Everything's on such an accelerated cycle.
We forget to look inwards and we're like, who do I want to be? Like looking outwards all the time.
Oh, that's what it is. I think that's what I was trying to get to. It's like,
The inward perspective.
Instead of looking outside, we look in. Figure out who we are and then build our closet from that.
So let us know what you all think. Why don't we wear our clothes to death anymore? Leave us a comment if you're watching on YouTube. And if you're listening on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, don't forget to rate. And we'll see you next week. Ciao.
Thank you so much for joining in our conversation this week. If you're enjoying the show, we'd love it if you subscribe to the podcast on Spotify and Apple and leave us a rating and review. It's one of the best ways to support the Sustain This podcast at zero cost to you.
We're also a community-led podcast, so if you have any questions for us, topic requests, or even guests you want to hear from, please send us a DM on Instagram at sustainthis_podcast. We read all of our comments and look forward to hearing from you.
We hope you join us again next Tuesday, where we'll talk about so much more than clothes. Ciao!